And this is Surah Hujurat. Hujurat is the plural of Hujra. Hujra refers to the chambers of the Prophet ﷺ, his room. The Prophet ﷺ, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, each of the mothers of the believers had a particular Hujra or chamber. And these chambers have been described as having been built adjacent to the masjid. There was later on a time when some of them were incorporated later on in the Muslims as part of the masjid. This surah was revealed towards the end of the life of the Prophet ﷺ, in the later stages of the life of the Prophet ﷺ. And this surah is really all about adab, at least these first eight verses for sure are all about adab, are adab towards the Prophet ﷺ, and in essence really, because again this isn't confined to just the sahaba, are adab towards the Prophet's teachings, are adab towards the sunnah. Right? And this is an incredible surah that is going to make us understand what is the relationship between a believer and his nabi. What's the relationship between an ummati and his nabi. So, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this surah direct. No hurufi muqata'at, no prelude, no praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A direct, immediate address to the believers. Because the subject and hand is of so importance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to proceed directly and address the believers how to have adab with His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not proceed ahead of Allah. Tukaddimu, do not try to be muqaddam. You know enough further for this. Do not try to be muqaddam, put yourself before Allah and His Messenger. Right? But rather, ittaqullah, you should fear Allah, inna Allaha samiyun alim. So what does this mean? This means several things, right? One incident that is mentioned on this issue is that the Sahaba, there were some people who used to ask the Prophet ﷺ questions, right? About particular issues, even from within the Sahaba. And until the revelation came down, sometimes the Sahaba would offer a possible answer to that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling them that do not try to precede the revelation that will come from Allah either in scripture or through the teachings and instructions of the Prophet. If something has not yet been mentioned, you should wait. Inna Allaha sami'un, verily Allah is all hearing. He knows. He's all hearing. He's aware of what it is that's on your mind, what issue you want resolved. He is all knowing and He possesses the ilm, which is what you're looking for. So if you try to come up with it on your own, it won't be beneficial. And if we were to take this attitude even today, right, beyond the Sahaba, as people who are learning the deen, if there's something that is in our heart or in our mind or a question, right, we shall not try to be muqaddam on Allah and Rasul, that without seeing first what the Quran and Sunnah say about that matter or affair, for us to ourselves jump the gun and offer what we think that matter might mean. We should not do that. Right? And we should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sami'un alim, second meaning is that if we were to do that, if we were to make ourselves muqaddam and pronounce some declaration or proclamation, then know that Allah is sami'. He's not just sami', He's sami'. He will intently listen to that and record that. He will record our taqdeem, our putting ourselves before Him. He's al-alim. He's intimately knowing why and when, with what intention we do that. So, in the tafsir of Sayyidina Mujahid, these are tabi'in, Mujahid rahimahullah ta'ala, there was this notion that you should await the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beloved Messenger before doing something. And another tafsir mentioned by Qatada rahimahullah, another tabi, he said that this was this incident that somebody requested some law, some issue, some legal ruling to be made regarding a particular matter, and this verse was revealed down that you should, it's better that you should wait. Some also mention that in Sahih Bukhari there's a hadith narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, that a group came to the Prophet and requested him that when they accepted Islam, that appoint an Amir from amongst us. And so this is now the notion of taqdeem before the Prophet. And before the Prophet could reply, Sayyidina Abu Bakr said that Qaqa bin Ma'bad, who was amongst that group, Sahaba, Sayyidina Qaqa bin Ma'bad, he should be the Amir. Then when Sayyidina Umar heard this, he said, no, I think Aqra bin Mahabis, he should be the Amir. And then when they did this, Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar had a little bit of a quarrel right there on the spot as to who should be the Amir, started giving their views even before the Prophet had a chance to answer the question put forth to them by this group. So some people have taken this hadith to have been the sabab of revelation for this, right? That if somebody asked the Prophet something, right, that we should not jump the gun and answer. Right, but as I mentioned, to the umumi mana for this, the tafsir of Imam al-Qurtubi has mentioned six such narratives. Allahu alam, any or all of them could have been the sabab for this nuzul or the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this. But again, for us in a broader way, we don't want to jump the gun in any way on the Quran and the Sunnah. Next, again, Ya Ladhina Amanu, repeating again for emphasis, do not raise, on the most famous verses of the Quran, do not, literally it means do not raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet ﷺ in terms of volume, in terms of audibility, do not speak louder than him, right? So that is what's mentioned, be not loud when speaking to him as you were loud when speaking to one another. This has, however, been interpreted in a more umumi way, right? That do not be disrespectful to him, do not be free with him. Do not equate yourself with him, do not put yourself on par with him, do not speak with him as an equal, as the way you speak with another. Friendly banter, joking, speaking like that. You shouldn't speak like that with the Prophet ﷺ. Lest your good deeds should become void. This is an incredible thing. Otherwise, normally a lack of adab is not going to be something to nullify your good deeds. Kufr nullifies your good deeds. Sins can nullify your good deeds, but Allah ﷻ is saying no, right? Otherwise, what أَنْ تَحْبَتَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ hubut. That they will be rendered null, void, removed, negated. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَسْرُونَ, and you won't even know it. Without your shu'ur, without you even being aware. So this is showing us the Quran, the incredible importance of adab towards the Prophet ﷺ. Right now, in his lifetime, the Sahaba shouldn't raise their voice. In this day, what does this mean? That Rasulullah said this, I say this. People do the best with you, and you will actually show them a hadith. And they will shoot back with you, right? So they're actually raising their voices above the Prophet ﷺ in terms of leaving the Sunnah lifestyle, the Sunnah teachings, the Sunnah way. That is what they're doing. So it's not just about your tongue. If I live in a particular life that is different from the Sunnah life, my living that life is a type of proclamation. I'm making an atlan that this is what I think is an acceptable way to live, or an acceptable way to have my heart, an acceptable way to have my zahir. And that we're placing that above the voice of the Prophet ﷺ, in other words, above his Sunnah. Right? And if we do that, right, if we so unabashedly live a life that is far from his sunnah, then this is a lack of adab that may cause the rest of our amal to go to waste. Right? So negating the sunnah might creep up and negate the effects of our salah, the effects of our fasting, and we won't even be aware of it. We won't even see this, right? And this is really, I mean, this is what a lot of us have, is we're not aware of? We're not aware of how far we are from the Sunnah. We're not aware of how far we are from the prophetic lifestyle, from the prophetic teachings, from his kifiyat, from his tawakkul, from his sabr, from his love for Allah, from his adab, from his akhlaq, right? And being unaware of that is going to cause this to happen in a state that is unaware. After this verse was revealed, several ahadith in Bukhari, number one, that Sayyidina Umar radhiyallahu anhu started speaking so softly in front of the Prophet ﷺ that Rasulullah ﷺ used to continually have to ask him to repeat his words because he was not able to hear. Then another hadith in Bukhari, Imam Bukhari has collected the hadith about this verse. Another hadith mentions that there was a famous sahaba, Sayyidina Thabit bin Qais radhiyallahu anhu, who just, he disappeared. You would no longer see him in the gathering. So Rasulullah waited a few days and he sent somebody and said, go find out where Thabit bin Qais. And so they said, we went to his home and we found him, he's just sitting there like this and mute. And we asked him, where are you? And he was a person who, and some people have this as you would know, they have loud voices. He was a loud, but the, by nature, whenever he spoke in an extremely loud way. And so he was hanging his head in shame that this verse has come about to me and I cannot come in front of the Prophet anymore because what can I do? I have a loud voice, right? So their adab was so high that even it meant their love for the Prophet. Imagine now, again, you have to put yourself in the mind of Sayyidina Thabit. He loves the Prophet. He could not bear not to see his beloved messenger. He loves getting that ilm of Nabu'ah. He cannot bear to miss that majlis. But even more than his love for gazing upon the noble countenance of Rasulullah, even his love for getting the ilm from the Prophet, even his love to see the verses of Quran becoming revealed or recited from the first time from the tongue of his love, even greater than all of that was his adab. This is the effect on the Quran Al-Kareem. This is what I keep saying, that the verses of the Quran, each and every verse is meant to have an impact on our heart. The Sahaba were people that this verse impacted their heart, they changed their behavior, right? So then the Prophet, when they came back, the Prophet sent, told them to tell him to come back. And this is not Thabit bin Qais, you need not worry. If it is in your tabi'at, this is being mentioned, that doing it out of lack of adab, out of disrespect in what you do, is not out of disrespect. Another hadith, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah, that after this verse, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, used to speak in such a whisper to the Prophet ﷺ, it looked like they were always exchanging secrets. He was always saying a secret. That's how much they did amal on this verse. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, and shortly after that, after the Sahaba kamilan mukammalan did amal on this, then revealed the next verse, that inna ladina ya'udhuna aswatim, verily those who do lower their voices. And these examples that I gave you before Allah's Messenger are the ones whose hearts Allah has tested for piety. It means adab is the test of taqwa. الَّذِينَ أَمْتَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ Allah tested their spiritual hearts. So this is also a notion, very important feature of this verse, that taqwa lies in the qulub. Taqwa is something that lies in our spiritual qalb, it lies in our spiritual heart. It's not something that will lie only in our zahir, in our appearance, or in our activities, or in our actions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested their hearts, whether they had taqwa or not. So taqwa and adab, there's a rabt here. Right, if we want to increase in our taqwa, and this month is the month of La'allakum tattaqoon, that surely Allah Ta'ala is hopeful that we may become people of taqwa, we must increase in our adab. And our adab in general, and here our adab towards Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is it that they got for that? Lahum maghfiratun wa ajrun azeem. They got a forgiveness from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and they got an incredible and immense reward from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The next verse is that as for those who call you, now here is the word hujurat, as for those who call you from outside your chambers, أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ, they have no sense. There are again many events that have been mentioned. Different tribes, groups came to meet the Prophet ﷺ and they would just call, Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad, ﷺ. They would just call him like that, outside his door, not even knocking, not waiting for him to come, not waiting for the proper time for when he meets people, not waiting for his office hours, so to speak, but just calling from outside, right? And so these are people that have no akal, they have no sense of this adab. Whether they were new Muslims, whether they were people who were coming to meet the Prophet ﷺ so that they wanted to accept Islam. Had they remained patient until you came out to them, if they had a sabr, it would be much better for them, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving, most merciful. So if this is for the believers, right, who maybe would sometimes come and call out the Prophet ﷺ from his chambers that had a question or a query, Allah ta'ala is saying, if they had sabr, it would have been better, but he is the most forgiving, the most merciful one. Some commentators have extrapolated on this, and have actually said that this applies to ulama, awliya as well, any area. This is the general teaching of adab. Obviously, at the ultimate level, it applies to the adab for the Prophet ﷺ, but in any relationship in which a person is a beneficiary, and the other person is a resource, a person is getting ilm, or tarbiyah, or tazkiyah, then also you would not want to raise your voice in their presence. You would not want to call them out. You would want to wait to engage them when they feel that they have the time to engage you. Then, another very famous, again, Ya Ayyuhalladhina Amanu. You see, verse after verse, Allah Ta'ala's beginning. Ya Ayyuhalladhina Amanu. Ya Ayyuhalladhina Amanu. When a fasiq comes to you, a fasiq is not an ordinary sinner. A fasiq is a particular type of sinner who does an open act of sin. So a fasiq means an open sinner. It's only one sin that is required to make a person a fasiq. As if a person does a sin openly and unrepentingly and shamelessly, they get this luck of being a fasiq on them, irrespective of what other a'mal is salih, or what other righteous actions, and what other ibadat that person may be doing. If he brings you a report, you cannot accept the report of a fasiq. On this basis, Imam Muslim, in his introduction to his sahih, said that he will not accept the hadith report by which has anybody who is known to have been a fasiq in the link. Now, me and you have all committed sins openly in our lives. We hope that in this month we can repent for them. But at the time we committed them, we were unrepentant in doing them. So we would not even be accepted by the muhaddithin to even narrate a single hadith. On our authority, it would not be accepted. Right? It's a good thing that they textualized Bukhari. So those of us who narrated to you on the authority of Bukhari, you do not accept it on my authority. But you accept it because it's on the authority of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Lest you should be harm of people out of ignorance and then become remorseful. So if you act, and maybe that was a fasiq, so he's untrue. What's the notion here, right? This is very important. Right, and I'm going to touch upon this a bit, but I'll pick up on this again. Being untrue to Allah, that is a fasiq. being untrue to Allah means you may be untrue to others. That person who is disloyal to Allah, we will not accept his words, even in this world, even his testimony, even as brings you a report of the dunya or the deen. Why? So it shows you, our being untrue to Allah, being distant from Allah, lowers our maqam even in this dunya. Lowers our maqam even as to what extent people will accept us, view us as truthful people, as opposed to siddiqeen, who are true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore everything they say in this world is viewed as sidq. The fusaq or the fasiqeen, because they're openly sinning, right, their words don't have value anymore, and if you act on their words, act on what they say, you may harm a people out of ignorance, and later regret what you did. You might take an action, right? And last thing I was saying, is if you take, it's being mentioned mutlaqan here for dunya and deen. There is an incident that this verse is referring to that I will tell you next time, but I will take it even more ultimately. If a fasiq tries to tell you what the deen of Islam says, right, and you take your deen from him, you take your deen from a TV personality who openly sins against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by perhaps declaring interest to be halal, by saying hijab is no longer farz, he's openly sinning against Allah. And then you take your deen from him and you accept whatever he says, you will harm yourself and you will have regret later on what you did. May Allah Ta'ala enable us to become people of amal. InshaAllah Ta'ala, next time we will wrap up Surah Al-Hujurat.